You are now on the inside of what I like to call the circle of trust.
We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
Circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Chuck.
This is Ben.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Cast Radio Network, the podcast that would definitely not have let the Patriots come back. Yes, we are back again with another episode. Today we're going to sit back and we have a good amount of stuff to talk about. If you've never listened to our podcast before, we consider ourselves the Gen Ed podcast of pop culture. Today we'll be discussing a variety of different things, everywhere from the Super Bowl to the trailers to some comics and some classic comics and some current comics to talk about. But before we get to all that, how's things going with you guys?
Things are extremely snowy where I'm at.
Nice.
Well, Greg and I probably both. Hey, we got a snowstorm last night, probably about 8 inches of snow, and it kind of sucked because the roads were pretty terrible this morning. So the only good thing about that, though, is like there's like no one else on the road usually, like very early in the morning. So it's kind of like what I fantasize about every morning, being no cars on the road. So I'm like, I'm just going to try to enjoy this as much as I can.
See, I kind of find that a little bit scary because it always seems like some kind of apocalyptic scene if I see no one around, like 28 days later,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
He's
waiting for the lion to come out and attack some, attack the deer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, this is a year you guys are getting the snow because the last few years we have, but we just got a little bit of a dusting, so that was enough to cause havoc, of course, because it's Maryland and it's how things are. But
we can send it back to you.
You know what? I'm good. We're good. yesterday it was like 70 degrees and like wearing t-shirts and shorts, and today we got snow and sleet and all that good stuff. So it's been a weird winter. But
yeah, that's
Greg,
for sure.
How things going with you?
All right. Nothing too big going on. Had a nice little dinner with my mom yesterday. That was my birthday gift to her from like a couple weeks ago when her birthday was. So we went to Primanti Brothers. Had some No. She went for a whiskey sour this time and sangria. I was surprised she was standing afterwards and doing pretty good. I had a couple of beers. We shared some terror tots, which are tater tots with queso, sriracha, jalapenos, and bacon, which were really good. She got a pulled pork sandwich, and I got this new chicken sandwich that they have that was pretty good. It was fried chicken with some breading on it. It has lettuce, tomatoes, and onions. I got it without, and some kind of like sauce over the top of it. So that was really good. It was kind of simplistic for me since I got it without the tomatoes and onions, but it was still really good. The sauces that they have at Primanti Brothers are really good.
Nice. So some interesting things going on with me. I don't know if interesting is a strong word, but so my son's becoming self-aware. Like they say, like artificial intelligence becomes self-aware, but so do
your son is Skynet.
Not necessarily, but he's becoming more aware of his own body, as they say. Case in point, my wife was giving him a bath the other day, and on occasion, when he's in the bath, he'll start peeing, and he started doing that, but he realized, being a boy, peeing comes out of what is basically an extended hose. So he started basically just spraying everything around him, like a giant toy, just twirling it all around in circles and everything like that.
Do a helicopter dick. Do a helicopter
yeah.
dick.
Just like a fireman.
Exactly. He was putting out, he thought it was hilarious. He was it was the funniest thing ever. My wife's like,
I picture the song playing in the background, fire.
I was like, when is he going to kind of grow out of doing something like that? I'm like, probably never. Still a thing guys do now. So, but but that's been an adventure. So besides that, not much is going on. The one thing I did do the last podcast, we talked about stuff looking forward to in 2017, and I didn't mention this, but the Darth Maul comic came out. Star Wars, Marvel's been doing a lot of Star Wars comics. They had the Darth Vader comic that just ended last year, and they're launching a Darth Maul series this year, which is a character we've talked about a great deal. I know, Chuck, you're a big fan of the character of Darth Maul. Now he's getting his own limited series. It's only 5 issues, as of right now, at least, with the first issue. It's written by Cullen Bunn, who has an okay track record in my mind. He's kind of consistently average. He'll have some stories that get above that, some that fall below. I never really necessarily get excited when I see his name, but he's capable of telling a good story. The comic itself, Darth Maul, takes place prior to the episode 1. Things are kind of still being set in place. And the conflict of the first issue really is that Darth Maul is like chomping at the bit to start taking down some of these Jedi. And like, he has this hunger inside him basically to, you know, to attack and kill and fight. Like, it's part of who he is. And you see him trying to quell that urge by going after some like of the most dangerous creatures in all of the Star Wars galaxy, like the creatures that were in Force Awakens that Han has, the ones that escape. He attacks a band of those, which is a pretty cool scene, you know, showing he's a pretty big badass, and he does it without a lightsaber. So that was pretty cool seeing that occur. And that's kind of the crux of this first issue, is really just setting up that aspect of his character. You know, he meets with the Emperor. Well, he isn't the Emperor, but what is he, Sidious at that moment in time?
Yeah, Darth Sidious.
And Darth Sidious is trying to keep him patient because the time isn't right yet. But he, you know, he's really wants to. He starts like stalking some Jedi, but they can sense his presence, but he never attacks. But Sidious does find a mission for him to go on. Some pirates have like captured some of those separatists, the guys from the first episode that have all the robot army, and he's sent to kind of free them. And let them go free, and that is like near where the ending of the first issue happens. He takes out all these pirates. He shows again that he's badass. Like, if you like Darth Maul showing how badass he is, there's plenty of opportunity in this, whether it's on the ground or flying in the air. But the first episode, the first issue ends on like, I don't want to give it away, but basically he finds a way that he might be able to quell his bloodlust without the Emperor knowing and get a shot at attacking Jedi because he really wants to. And that's where it leads off. So as a first issue, I think it solidifies the foundation of the character of Darth Maul, kind of shows you that there's a potential for 5-story arc here that could be well told. The artwork is, I'd say, pretty standard for the most part. The action moves well enough. I thought some of the characters' designs were pretty poorly rendered or just generically rendered. Darth Maul looks as you would expect, but it was just okay. Like, it doesn't really jump off the page. I would think with a book like this and with Darth Vader ending, they would get more of a established artist, but they didn't. But I thought it was a solid first issue. I read some of the Dark Horse Darth Maul stuff, and I felt like this did a better job of making him more of a complete character, so I'm excited for where it's going. I don't think it's at the level of like where Star Wars the comic is right now, or the Darth Vader comic, but it's only the first issue, so it has potential. It's better than some of the other miniseries that they've done, like Han Solo and Lando and the Anakin and Obi-Wan, which was probably the worst. So if you're a huge Darth Maul fan, Chuck, like yourself, I think you could probably wait for the trade and you'd be fine, but it's enjoyable enough.
Nice. So, sounds pretty interesting.
But yeah, it seems like it's keeping it pretty small scale when it comes to the overall story.
Do they get into anything yet with his, like how he was brought up or like where he was born and
no
stuff?
No background, really. No, none whatsoever. Yeah.
I'm sure they'll probably explore that at some point.
I would assume so. It's only 5 issues. The overall plot, a narrative doesn't seem like it's going to be all that complex, so I'm guessing we're going to get some more of that in the upcoming issues. He gets to, like, there's some narration that hints at what he is and what he's become, but no flashbacks or anything like that. You don't see young Darth Maul growing up in school, getting bullied or anything like that. But I know, Greg, you've been reading some very classic comic books, so I'm curious to hear what you thought of them.
Ah, yeah, super classic. I'm actually been reading some Golden Age Batman, more particular, like the first appearances and onward. I got this Golden Age Batman graphic novel that's essentially the size of like an Essentials comic or a graphic novel. And it's pretty good, pretty interesting. It's kind of what you expect from older comics, a lot of narrative that isn't really needed because it's already in the pictures itself. And for the detective comics back in the day, it was kind of like multiple stories in one issue. So Batman's first appearance was like only a couple of pages. And it's very it's so trying to tell a story that's so short, it kind of skips from place to place very urgently, which is kind of interesting. Definitely not the Batman that kind of we all know and grew up with. This Batman and Robin, I've definitely gotten to the part where Robin becomes involved. By the way, no Alfred so far from what I've read. I'm only halfway through this thing, but no Alfred so far. Bruce has a girlfriend, which is interesting, which you really don't see her too much. You kind of pops into a story every once in a while when it's appropriate to the story. But Batman and Robin both have a very high kill count at this point. I believe they're up to about 16 or 19. It's tough to say because on the one page it was Batman killed multiple people and he was very like nonchalant about it. Every kill that he has, he's very nonchalant and like whatever about it. But the one panel was tough to tell because I was trying to count them. And it wasn't super detailed, kind of like because old comic book art isn't very super detailed. What's your question
about that? So, and it may be hard to tell considering this is, you know, a comic that's what, over 80 years old. But when you're reading it, does it seem like that's something that's geared towards kids, or does it seem like it's geared towards like an older audience? Like considering they're killing people like that left and right.
Yeah, but it's tough to tell because they kind of let kids get away with more of that kind of stuff back in the day. I feel they were exposed to hardship younger. We're kind of exposed to it, but it's not real life. It's like TV kind of stuff, TV violence as opposed to in real life violence. So it's tough to tell on that end. The stories are simple, so I'd say just because of story-wise, I'd say it's more geared towards kids, but it's also very dark in spots, but in a different way than how dark he is, kind of darkness he is now, because he's kind of goofy, and he has a smile on his face. He's like that happy adventurer, as opposed to now where he's always brooding. So it's tough to tell, but I think it was definitely geared towards kids, I want to say.
Interesting. I always wondered that, like how that would seem, considering just a standard of what we expect now, because obviously he's changed a lot as a character, but I was just curious if it felt at the time it was something that might have been, because, you know, he's called Batman. And is that something that was initially geared towards kids? Comics around that time were pretty much designed for children, but they weren't really what we see them today. So
it's funny because his origin is essentially two pages, which is kind of funny. And him coming up with being Batman, he was just sitting in a chair in like the living room, and he's like, I need to be something that villains will fear, something dark that they'll fear. And a freaking bat flies in the window. He's like, a bat! I'll use a bat. That will be my symbol. And it's just kind of goofy. And a lot of the stuff, it's like, it just cracks me up because it's so simple from what it is and like how in depth it is now compared to back then, where they just covered it in two pages and it was kind of funny.
What would happen if like a unicorn just like ran into his window or something?
He'd be the unicorn, I guess. Not very dark, though. I don't see unicorns as being very dark. But yeah, it's an interesting read. It's funny to see what was acceptable back then compared to now. Because there was at one point, like his first appearance of Catwoman, he catches her and he grabs onto her and she was like, "Hey, let me go." And then his response to that was, "Papa Spank."
Nice.
So it was like weird, misogynistic, like it was just bizarre. Like, where the hell did that come from? That was kind of highly sexual out of nowhere. And like, Batman's just like letting her go, like driving her back on a boat and everything. And he like super just lets her go. Robin's like, "What the hell are you doing, man?" Kind of to Batman. Batman's like, "It's all right, Robin. You'll understand when you're older." And it's like, seriously? He is so grinning from ear to ear, nonchalant about deaths. Like, he is kind of like a terrible superhero at this point, just because he's so happy-go-lucky, I guess, compared to how I'm used to him. But it's definitely an interesting read. If you're like a huge comic book nerd that's into Batman, it's definitely a great read. It's actually been keeping me entertained. I know some of the older stuff throws me off because I get kind of bored with it, but the stories are so short that the little things like he grabs onto a branch to swing across doesn't bother me as much because the stories kind of go through quick and everything. So I would definitely pick this up if you're into like history of comics and comics in general. It's just an interesting jump back into time.
Is there any continuity do you feel like with comics of that age? Because I've not read a lot of like Golden Age comics.
Actually, there is because they have not Doctor Strange. I'm sorry, Professor Strange. Professor Strange, Hugo Strange, kind of keeps coming back, and they'll throw little reminders of what kind of happened before. Joker keeps coming back. And the Joker's first couple appearances are quite interesting as well, because he's just kind of like announcing his killings over the radio, like, "I will kill the mayor at midnight. This has been, the Joker has spoken." So everybody's trying to catch, like, the cops are all there and everything. But Batman's like, seriously, so nonchalant. He's like, "I'll wait till I get more clues about this." He's not very like, "Oh, I got to get on top of this now. I'll show up." And like, he's just like, I'll see what happens. I'll catch him next time. So it's very bizarre, but interesting.
So he's not the brooding bat we've come to know and love. Interesting.
No, not really.
Cool beans.
So I know it's like probably, you know, nearly 30 years before the TV show, but do you feel the urge to read his dialogue in Adam West's voice at all?
No, not really. It doesn't have it. It's not the same attitude going on. I have been throwing Mark Hamill's Joker onto Joker whenever he appears, but I've been having a hard time doing that. But yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've been starting to read some of, because I got Marvel Unlimited, the online comic series, basically Netflix for Marvel comics, and I've been trying to read some of the old X-Men comics, and that's been the struggle. So, and those came out 30 years after that, but I know it's also Stan Lee, so it's a different beast
yeah.
altogether.
I have trouble with the X-Men, older X-Men comics too, but I find this kind of an easier read because, like I said, the stories kind of go by quick. So it's not like and you're essentially dealing with a small amount of characters going on. Maybe throughout the whole like an issue, you'll get maybe tops like five different characters going on. And some of them, it's just like, "Oh, there's this person kind of there." So it doesn't get too bogged down with a lot of things. They have to keep it moving. So it makes it easier to read the descriptions of everything.
Chuck, have you read a lot of older comics? Like, do you have ones that you found that you were able to enjoy?
I've read, like, some older Avengers stuff. And I guess a little tiny bit of Spider-Man and stuff, but it's like, it's tough to get through for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just like Greg was talking about the over-explaining stuff. Yeah. Like, it just really gets to me. Like, some of the things I remember, Spider-Man would be like doing like a somersault flip across the room, and they would show like the three or four different phases of his jump. And there's like a huge paragraph on each phase that he's thinking. I'm like, okay, it would take like 15 minutes for someone to like literally think all these thoughts. And I'm like, he's doing a 2 second somersault across the room. It's just like, I think I mentioned one time on a podcast, maybe last year or the year before, about reading an old Fantastic Four story with Galactus. I don't know if you guys remember that. And I feel like Stan Lee gets, like, he's a terrific writer as far as, like, the scope of the story and, like, the main theme of what he's trying to get across. And there's usually, like, a really good underlying theme to, like, what he's trying to get across. But the actual, like, dialogue and, like, character interaction is not so much. Yeah. So, I mean, in those regards, I think he's a terrific writer. He definitely had a gift for, you know, laying stuff out and coming up with a plot and stuff. But yeah, the dialogue is just, it's tough to get through for sure.
He was very creative and he was good at big picture stuff, but it was some of the fine tuning. And again, it's unfair in a way because it was definitely written for a specific audience, specific time. So it's a little bit different. Like,
I was just gonna say, people like were kind of slower back then, as not mentally. I mean, like, just the pace of life was slower in a way. So it was kind of like, you know, they could sit back and enjoy that. Where it's like now, if someone's bored for like 3 seconds, they got their phone out on Facebook. Yeah. So we're so impatient as a culture. So I feel like that's a huge disadvantage too.
And even films of the time, like if you look at the 60s or beforehand, like the pace was a lot slower. If you go watch like a James Bond movie of the time, it'd be considered a drama today because of the limited action and things like that for a lot of them. So the editing was very not as quick. Like, you know, right now we have cuts every 30 seconds and didn't necessarily have that. But, you know, it's weird because I can watch a lot of older films, but I can't necessarily read a lot of older comics. I don't know if it's just, it's a different medium maybe that I think comics have evolved a lot more than film or TV. Maybe not TV. Much more than like film has seemed kind of steady for the most part, but comics are a lot different than they used to be. All right. Well, what we do is take a quick break and we come back. We'll get into some of the news and notes of the goings on. Maybe talk a little Super Bowl, maybe talk some trailers, all that. We'll just see you right after this.
Hey guys, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Every week on our show, you can join my co-host Brendan and I as we review the latest films that's out in theaters. It also inspires us to discuss a top three list of some sort, and we have a lot of other fun movie discussions as well. It's always a blast. And we also have a show on Fridays called our Extra Film Podcast. This is a show that gives us the space to talk about the latest indies and art films and other classics that we normally just don't get to talk about on our main show. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and more. In fact, you can just see everything about us, including our social medias at InSessionFilm.com. So join us every week. We'd absolutely love to have you.
All right, and welcome back. I know it's old news by now, but we'll kind of start kick things off because, you know, it is the biggest TV event of the year every year. What did you guys think of the Super Bowl? And its amazing, unfortunate outcome.
Hate.
Was I the only one that almost just turned it off and started watching something else?
I didn't do that, but I nearly smashed my TV when I, you know, saw the final outcome. I don't know. I was like, I never really thought of changing the channel because I kind of wanted to just see it play out and everything. But I saw, you know, what was happening and I'm like, yeah, I see where this is going. And I'm like, I already know what's going to happen because it's happened to me a bunch of times. So... And I remember in overtime when the Patriots won the toss, and you know they ran the first couple of plays, and I told my dad, I'm like, this is gonna be over in like two plays, and I think it was three plays after I said that was the touchdown, so I'm like, yep, knew that was gonna happen.
Yeah.
You could just feel the momentum change, like it was
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, and when I just saw the toss, I was like, okay, yeah, it's definitely over. I felt like if the Falcons won the toss, at least there was a chance that they could have won, but they just kind of gave the game away after halftime. I was like doing good and feeling great before then. Then Lady Gaga dropped and everything else dropped with it. Like it was awful.
I honestly thought it was like after the Patriots scored the first touchdown with how much time it took. I'm like, well, actually, I mean, it seems like this game could be, I didn't think it was over, but I was like, well, this is going to be really hard for them to come back now. It was funny because I felt like what killed them were two big things. All the kickoff returns for the Falcons were awful. Like nearly every one, starting earlier than the 20-yard line, and they kept trying to take it out, and I'm like, it was such a dumb move. And then that infamous drive where Ryan gets sacked, and it was just like, and then you get the holding call too. And I was like, that is like, after that, I'm like, all right, well, we know how this is ending. So
yeah, it seemed like the penalties were like really piling up on the Falcons too. And like, just, it was depressing.
Well, it was like
I'm going to keep repeating that. I'm sorry, everybody. I am such an adamant non-Patriots fan. That it just kills me all the time seeing them win everything. It's kind of like if anybody watches NASCAR, Jimmy Johnson, he's kind of like the Tom Brady of NASCAR. He's even if he's doing bad, he'll eventually turn it around and miraculously win, and it's just super upsetting every time.
Well, there was some good news for the Dolphins fans over the weekend, though, because Jason Taylor did get inducted to the Hall of Fame.
That is true. I was extremely happy about that.
Yeah, it was what?
I think I may try to go out and see it. Possibly, nice. I'm still thinking it over.
Nice, nice. We were there when Marino got. Was he the last Dolphin inducted since that Marino?
I believe so. Because Marino was 2005. So yeah, I think it was the last one because. Oh, wait a second. There was, it was either 2 years before or 2 years after, there was Nick Bonacani, which he was on the early 70s Dolphins team. Okay. But yeah, it's been probably a good 10 years at least since a Dolphin has gone in. So pretty excited about
that.
It
was Terrell Davis, Jerry Jones. And I kind of thought Jerry Jones was already in the Hall of Fame, but I guess.
I just thought he owned the building. Like. LaDainian Tomlinson, Kurt Warner. I forget the other dude from. He was more of an old time player.
Oh yeah, what did you think about Terrell Davis getting in? I was kind of surprised.
I completely disagree with it. I do not think he should be in there at all. I think when I first heard about it, like I heard about the nominees and everything, and I was kind of like, well. He's kind of like could go either way because he had some really good seasons there in Denver. But I actually found someone online made a comment about it where he ranks in all-time rushing. So I started like looking it up for myself, and he actually is 55th all-time in rushing, and he's 48th all-time in rushing touchdowns. I'm like. Why is this guy in the Hall of Fame? Not sure. I mean, he won a couple Super Bowls, but they really had a great team. I mean, they had Elway, they had, you know, pretty good defense and everything. So I kind of think, as much as I dislike Terrell Owens, I got to say he deserves it more than Terrell Davis, in my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. He was a dominant player, like, for a longer period of time. Had his career achievements are much longer. Like Terrell Davis was like, great for 3 years, and then he kind of just disappeared because of injury. Which I don't. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't call him a Hall of Famer. But T.O. should. I don't get why T.O. is on it. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how high T.O. ranks in stats. Like I think for receiving yards, he's number two behind Rice, which surprised the heck out of me. I didn't know that. And then he's number three in all-time touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
He probably could have, if he could have even been higher, because he just couldn't find a team there for a while, even though he was somewhat like healthy, and he just people just kind of put down with, just couldn't deal with him anymore.
Yeah. I think his attitude definitely hurt him, even for this consideration, because if he was like a great guy that was always, you know, in the positive side of the light instead, then I think he would probably already be in.
Yeah. Was it Morton Anderson that also got in, the kicker?
Yes, yeah. I think so.
And Brian Dawkins did not, correct?
No. Yeah,
that, see, I would put Dawkins way over, even as a Giants fan, would put Dawkins a lot higher than Terrell Davis. So, I don't know. It's weird. I don't get how he got in.
I think everyone else in the class really deserved it, except for Terrell Davis, in my opinion. And I love Terrell Davis as a person. I think he's a great guy. But if you're talking stats and Hall of Fame status, I just don't think so.
I'm just hoping Kurt Warner goes in as a Giant for the year that he played for the Giants. That's right. Probably not.
Yeah, that'll probably.
Do they get to choose? I know. Is it baseball they get to choose, or is football automatically what team they were on the longest? Is that?
I think you can choose, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Assume Kurt Warner would go in as a Ram.
Because, like, I think I want to say, like Junior Seau had a choice for, like Chargers or Dolphins. Obviously, he was with the Chargers a lot longer, so he picked them, but.
I'm guessing Latanian Donaldson will go in as a Jet, of course, since that's where.
Yeah. Well, his old team doesn't exist anymore.
That's true. That's for. Man, that's really stinks for San Diego. You know, LT is finally in the Hall of Fame, and he can't even. Man. Yeah, that's very true.
I don't know. LA Chargers just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah, yeah. And especially with their awful looking logo that they made 5 minutes before the press conference. It's
like. Right, and everyone made fun of them on Twitter.
But
are they moving to L.A. now?
Yeah, the Chargers and the Rams are both moving to L.A., and the Raiders are trying to move to Las Vegas, but they've gotten into a lot of issues with trying to secure a stadium, so they might just be wherever next year. Who knows?
The Scranton Raiders. Yeah. There you go.
The American Raiders. We'll play in whatever stadium they let us.
It's being someone's backyard. It's like Joe's Backyard Raiders. But enough football talk for geeks. But one thing that all people can celebrate during the Super Bowl with the commercials. I don't know. None of the commercials really felt like needed to be talking about. But there were a lot of trailers and for a lot of different movies. And maybe one we could start with, because a film we're all excited about, is that you check the new trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Are we more excited, less excited, same excited?
Same excited. Adds a little bit more funnies, but it's just kind of same old, same old. Needless to say, I'm still excited for the movie overall. I loved the first one. It looks like this one's kind of going with the same kind of momentum going on. Maybe a little less, but it still looks pretty good to me.
What about you, Shaq?
I am exponentially more excited.
Why is that?
You know, the character you see at the very beginning of the trailer, the woman completely covered in gold head to toe.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, she is I guess you could say a twin somewhat of Adam Warlock.
Oh, okay.
And from what
is she from Infinity Crusade?
It's not quite the same character.
Okay.
Her name is supposedly is Aisha, which I feel like that's a singer somewhere, but
Aisha Tyler is a comedian.
But I guess, like, I don't know, this must have been another story arc that like a newer one that I missed along the way, but I guess she's like, she feels that Adam Warlock is like the perfect mate for her. She's even gone by other names, like in her history, like she was called Her and Warlock was called Him and everything. So from what I understand in the movie, she's seeking out a character called Him because she thinks it's her perfect mate. And that, to me, means that they're going to be bringing Adam Warlock into the fold. So that gets me super excited.
Interesting. You might be the only person that has that reaction to that character, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
How did you find out that's who that character was?
Well, I was curious because the first thing I thought of was she's called the Goddess from the Infinity Crusade story. And I was like, wow, are you kidding me? That's her. And which it kind of is a very similar character. I wasn't able to find anything where it said they were one and the same, but they refer to her as Aisha. And there's a couple names like Paragon and her and stuff like that. But I did look that up, and someone did like a exclusive interview or some kind of article. I forget even what website it was on now, but they said, you know, just very briefly, sort of what her character is doing in the movie. And I was like, oh man, that's really cool. But a lot of people like didn't know that. So pretty interesting. Nice.
I know.
I did not know that, Chuck. I did not know that.
Thank you, Mr. Carson.
I know another trailer that you...
Thank you for picking up on my voice work, Chuck.
I know another trailer you weren't hugely keen on or you had some issues with was one of the first Logan trailers. And I know we got another Logan trailer with another slowed down sad song in the background again. What did you think of the one that was released during the Super Bowl? And there was another one like the week before, I think, too. So there's been like a trillion of them. But have your thoughts at all changed regarding the Logan film?
Yeah, I'm a little bit more excited for that now. I think, I don't know, for whatever reason, the first trailer was like really depressing for me and sort of lacked some action, I guess, for lack of a better word. But in this one, you could see Logan trying to protect the girl a little bit more. And like, obviously, they're kind of playing off a similar theme from Old Man Logan, where he didn't want to pop the claws and it takes longer to heal now when he does it and everything. But it's like, it's still like, come on, it's a Wolverine movie. You got to have him like doing some action. You know, the guy spent like 8 months getting ripped. They're not going to have him like not do any action. So.
You think maybe it's just old Logan, so he didn't have to work as hard to get as ripped as he usually does? Do you think he's just like.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's only actually a couple of weeks away now. So
I'm super psyched for that. I don't know. I've been enjoying everything they've been doing, and I just kind of insane that this franchise, the X-Men franchise, which has been around at this point 17 years. The first X-Men film came out in 2000. 17 years.
Wow.
He's been playing this character, and they found a way for it to stay fresh and new and different. And I think that's pretty impressive. Weirdly, though, that you know he's been in the role 17 years, yet he feels like he looks younger than he did. But strange.
yeah, he looks way better now than he did. If he's like scrawny in that one, if you do the split screen, like he's freaking ripped now compared to that one. But one thing I'm really excited about too is I guess they. I heard that this takes place in like an alternate universe than the regular ones, which makes a lot of sense. But they gave a lot of rein to what's his name?
James Mangold.
Hugh Jackman. They actually kind of like gave him a lot of influence to say, kind of make the movie you want to make because it's the last time he's playing the character. Like you said, he's played it for like 17 years. So, what better guy to get insight from than the guy that has been in that character, exploring that character for 17 years. So this is kind of a culmination of what Hugh Jackman wants out of the character. So I'm pretty excited to see that.
Nice. Greg, what did you think of the Logan trailer?
First one, definitely depressing. The second, and I believe extended for Super Bowl purposes, I guess, is what it was. I don't know. I've watched all of them. They've been increasingly, by tidbits, getting better for me. I'm not completely psyched. I'm kind of holding back a little bit, especially after Wolverine Origins. They all haven't really been that great with Wolverine. The last movie where he was in Asia was pretty cool. I enjoyed that one for the most part, but it was just okay. So I'm still kind of holding my feelings inside a little bit on this. It looks interesting. I definitely love the fact that they're bringing in X-23, and I love seeing the little girl lash out more in the later trailers here. So I'm excited for that because she seems chaotic and everything. And I saw a clip where she's I enjoyed it. It was almost like 11 kind of going into the grocery store to get Legos kind of scenario, but with X-23, and she gets confronted, and that was fun. And there's a little funny tidbit with Hugh Jackman there. So I'm kind of gradually growing towards it. But like I said, I'm still kind of just crossing my fingers and like hoping I don't jinx anything, knocking on wood. And
yeah. Speaking of 11 and Stranger Things, did you see the trailer for Stranger Things Season 2?
I did. It's very short, just short little glimpses of things. You're not really gleaming much off of those. It just kind of shows the characters again. Love that all the guys are wearing Ghostbuster uniforms for like a Halloween party or whatever. So that's cool. But yeah, it doesn't really show you a lot, especially since they just kind of put a Lego commercial at the beginning of it, which was kind of funny. But I really don't know what's going on with that. It still looks cool. It looks, from what I can tell, like they're amping up the scale of the threat of the creature, I guess, or that world. Yeah. It's like I said, it's hard to tell, but it looks like it's kind of growing in scale a little bit for the second season.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is certainly like there's a glimpse of a crazy looking creature that's kind of got a lot of buzz. And is that coming to Earth or coming to the regular dimension? What's it mean? It's hard to say. But I was hesitant of them doing a second season because I felt like the first season was complete on its own, but after seeing that, I'm like, all right, I'm in. I'm all in.
Plus, you want to see Winona Ryder doing more weird, crazy faces at award shows.
Man, that was a weird man.
Yeah, like, why did she need to make faces during all of that? I didn't understand at all. I feel like she's been, like, through the years, been slowly getting insane. I'm not sure if something broke in her when she was filming Beetlejuice or Mr. Deeds, but she's, like, bizarre.
I mean, yeah, I have no idea. I don't know if she was playing some sort of, like, bingo of crazy faces and she was trying to win. I don't know, but it was weird.
I heard there's a clip on like YouTube or something that somebody put like a piece of pizza flying around kind of in her eye line. I still have to watch it yet, but I heard that's pretty funny.
But my one question though is it official that Transformers: The Last Knight and the next Fast and the Furious film have basically the same plot? Is that at all weird to anyone else except for me? It's like,
I have no idea. I'm not keeping track of either.
So the leader of both teams basically is coming back to start attacking the team that they once were the leader of, which was kind of funny.
Is it made by the same studio?
I don't think so. That's a good question. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
I feel like when I saw the Fast trailer, I'm kind of like, really? This is the eighth one? I'm like, I don't know. I know like a lot of people like some of the later ones, but I'm like, kind of feel like we should just get on with it and end it now.
I think I enjoy Fast 5 and Fast 6. Fast 7, I thought it was kind of running a little thin. I mean, they're speaking of self-aware, they're becoming self-aware and they're kind of in on their own joke, but I don't know. It's weird because it follows like the Dragon Ball Z plot line where the villain of the one movie eventually becomes part of the team. And like that's The Rock was a villain. Villain's a strong word. He was an antagonist, at least in Fast 5. Now he's part of the team. Jason Statham was antagonist and now he's part of the team. So I guess that's like that's the thing like Dragon Ball Z would do. It's like, you know, Vegeta was, which is the dorkiest conversation I think I've ever had in my life. Comparing,
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about when really. You go into anime. I've tried to watch some anime. I just cannot get through it.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z is the only anime I've ever watched. Well, that and Prince. I'm lying because I.
Oh, you pronounced the Z? I thought it was Dragon Balls.
I got into that for a short period during high school, and then I stopped because it took 18 episodes to one little fight, and then there was like 20 more episodes. It's just a pain in the butt. But were there any other commercials or trailers you guys wanted to bring up that I didn't mention?
I thought the trailer for Baywatch was funny. I've heard of the Baywatch movie going to be coming out and everything, so I thought it was going to be what old movie was, what the old TV show was, but apparently it's going to be kind of like a comedy and satirical in nature, and it actually looks quite fun, and I'm kind of interested in seeing that now because it does look quite humorous. Plus, Alexandra Daddario is going to be in it, and she is just gorgeous. So, yeah, and I also enjoy The Rock, not in the same way I do Alexandra Daddario, but he's always a lot of fun in movies and everything. So
I think The Rock has bigger pecs, actually.
probably Alexandria has better eyes, though. She has dazzling eyes. Other than that, what else have I do we do Iron Fist yet?
We haven't talked to Iron Fist. That's a good point.
Thank you.
I know you haven't read a lot of Iron Fist, so has the trailer at all got you interested in the show?
The trailer just didn't really fill me in too much. It looks interesting. It looks a lot brighter than the other Netflix series in mood and in how it's filmed, I feel. And it feels like it's going to be a little bit more funny. And so I like the guy who's playing Danny Rand, but he kind of reminds me of Hyde from that 70s show. So that's kind of interesting. The thing that I'm actually most excited for with Iron Fist is the fact that we're going to see Rosario Dawson's character of Night Nurse again. She was great in everything that she comes into with the Netflix series, so I'm very excited to see her again. The CGI looks really cool with how his fist is kind of glowing from the inside, and you could kind of see like his bones and everything inside when I guess he's like charging up. But it looks interesting. I'm not sure if I'm completely psyched for this one. I don't know why, though. But it's I'm still definitely going to watch it. I'm interested to see where this one kind of lines up in my rankings of Netflix Marvel movies or shows, I should say. It's not really a movie.
Chuck, what about you?
Looks good.
Short and sweet.
No, it was pretty cool. Like Greg mentioned, to see Rosario Dawson and like realize that he is like the last part of the Defenders team that they're trying to put together. So that's kind of cool. I believe we see the one lady from the Daredevil show that was the crime lord. I forget her name though.
Oh, the old Chinese lady that's the head of the mob. Yeah, I don't remember her name, but
I cannot remember her name. But I believe she made an appearance in the trailer, right?
Think so. I may be terrible to Asian people and say that they kind of look alike, especially when they get older. Sorry, Asian people. Your women are gorgeous. Not a big fan of your food. I'm not sure if that apology did anything. Sorry, I'm shutting up now.
I think it was towards the end of the trailer that I believe she made an appearance, like kind of in the background. But I was like, oh, I know her. She's from Daredevil. But I'm just kind of curious of like some of the other ways they might tie it together. Like, are they going to bring anything in from Luke Cage or, other than Night Nurse and stuff like that? So I don't know. Are they going to do his own full story first? Or are they going to try to more of like set up the Defenders thing? I would think they're going to do his full story because that's the full treatment that the other characters got. So we'll see.
That's a good question. I would assume so. I was kind of hoping that they would do, maybe they will, and maybe do some more flashbacks or something like that, but have more of the story set in outside of New York. And I forget where exactly his plane crashes. I want to say it's in China, but I could be wrong. But I was interested in how they were going to do that. Because like one of my favorite Iron Fist stories was like there was this like basically other dimensional tournament that he goes through with all these crazy creatures and characters from different parts, and I thought maybe they would kind of tie into that, but it doesn't seem like that's where they're going. So I thought that might be their end goal, considering that like Iron Fist and Luke Cage have a very long history in the comics. If Luke Cage will come into this one or not, I don't know. Like, if we'll see him show up in any episodes or if they have an interaction at all. But I don't know. I liked it. I thought it looked good. It didn't necessarily wow me as much, but it doesn't seem like this is going to be a little bit more action packed than Luke Cage was, which is fine. I do like how each of them does seem to have their own identity when it comes to the actual movie series. They all seem a little bit different. Maybe this one will be more of a flavor of the martial arts compared to the other ones. But I do like the guy who's playing Danny Rand. He seems like he has a character down pretty solid. So I'm excited. And I don't know when Defenders comes out. I think it's this year too. But my wife's always asking me, like, when the next season of Jessica Jones or Daredevil is coming out. I'm like, I think Daredevil season 3 is not until next year. I don't know. It's the bad thing about having it set up that you have to wait such a long time for all the new seasons that debuted. Any other ones you guys wanted to talk about that we didn't mention?
I think one that's kind of interesting is not too long ago on the podcast, I was talking about a book I read called The Lost City of Z. Actually a movie in development, and there's a trailer out for it, which is also called Lost City of Z. And it seems like it's going to be more, it's not going to be like word for word kind of page by page retelling from the book into the movie. It seems kind of more involved with the main protagonist of the book, the adventurer, and kind of his story.
It's like the story behind the book? Is that what it...
No, not the story behind the book, but the adventure that the book entails. We're going to see kind of more of his adventure and kind of how he gets into looking for the lost city and kind of more the dramatics of him and his relationship with his friends and family, kind of going to find the lost city and the adventure on the Amazon of natives shooting arrows and the dangers in the jungle and everything like that. So instead of extending off into the author's journey and the main character protagonist journey and like other little historical tidbits here and there, it's just going to deal with the main protagonist, it looks like, from what I got from the trailer. Which looks kind of interesting. It looks like a more serious kind of Indiana Jones type of thing to me. So it might be kind of cool to check out.
Have you guys read, or not read, but watched John Wick? The Keanu Reeves action film?
No, I've just heard of it. I've not really had an interest in it.
I have not.
I think you guys would both enjoy that a good deal. It reminds me somewhat of like the, you know, those classic revenge type of action films, a little bit like you know, the Transporters or basically the guy that can kick a lot of ass type of thing. And it was surprisingly really good, the first one. The trailers didn't really sell it, but the actual movie ended up being quite good, and now the second one's coming out. So
The other one I wanted to mention was, is it possible to be any less excited about Pirates of the Caribbean? Because I'm pretty much done with that. I don't know why they're still making them.
I've been done with that one like 4 or 5 movies ago. I don't like, are they seriously still getting that many people into the theaters to see these movies or what?
It must be, because
the last one's made money a good amount, surprisingly enough. So yeah,
that's just bizarre to me.
I've enjoyed the trailers, but like you guys, I think I've stopped after the third one, and they just seemed kind of unnecessary. But I thought the trailers for these actually look kind of interesting, but I'm not going to go see it because they're going to be like 3 hours long and not be very good, most likely. So it just seems...
Is this the 6th one? Is that where we're at?
I don't know. It's at least the 5th. Whatever happened to putting numbers next to things to make it easier? Like,
I don't know. I saw it and I was like, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Like, neither do your movies. I don't know. No, that's a little harsh. They are good to an extent, but I was, like Greg said, I was done like 3 movies ago.
I wonder if it'll be like the bounce back, or if it'll also be done. Who knows? Alrighty. Alright, anything else before we bring this episode to a close? Well,
nope.
Well, If you would like to get in contact with us, there's a lot of different ways to do so. You can email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com or talkingincircles@live.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, TCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at Heroic Age Chuck.
I am at The Create Four.
I am at Media Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Chuck.
This has been Greg. Or stop making Johnny Depp movies.
This has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week.
I didn't have one in the gun, so I just went the last thing we talked about.
That sounds like the next one. Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean, none in the gun.
I like it.
It will make $1 trillion.
Hopefully they'll give me my billion.